Welcome one and all to the first episode of Cube3's Glass to the Wall on turquoiseradio.com. My name is Adam Riley, and I will be your host each and every week as we look at the latest gaming industry news, reviews, features, and interviews, plus much more. Tune in every week for something special. Anything related to the gaming industry, you'll find here. On this, the very first episode of Cube3's Glass to the Wall, we have two special features for you. To start off with, we have a special chat between myself and one of my fellow Cube3 colleagues all about Nintendo's console, Wii U, and how it's currently not quite living up to expectations in terms of sales. After the first part of this special chat, we have an interview with a Monster Hunter enthusiast who will tell us all about the recent releases Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate on Nintendo Wii U and on Nintendo 3DS. Following this, to conclude this first episode of Cube3's Glass to the Wall, we have the second part of the chat about the Wii U, its fortunes, what games are coming out for it very soon, and what we can look forward to further down the line. So get yourself a nice cup of tea, sit down and relax, put your feet up, and get ready for Cube3's Glass to the Wall, right here on turquoiseradio.com. You're listening to Cube3's Glass of the Wall with your host Adam Riley, right here on turquoiseradio.com, featuring MacKinnamasound.com's Poltergeist. Visit www.MacKinnamasound.com for more great music. Year and how Nintendo, whilst thinking that they might have a massive success on their hands after the Wii console, sadly have had a little bit of a failure in a way. I'm joined on this show by one of my colleagues, Aaron. If you'd just like to introduce yourself, Aaron, for those that don't know you.
Okay, yeah, I'm Aaron and I'm deputy editor at cube3.com.
Thank you for joining us on the show tonight, Aaron.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Well, Wii U was first revealed back in 2011, just before the E3 event, and everyone was hyped up about it because Nintendo was riding the crest because Wii has been such a massive success. Nintendo DS was a massive success. So the next step was, what will Nintendo do as they step into the world of high definition? So hopes were high. Aaron, what were your thoughts before E3 when all the rumours started to come out and leak onto the internet?
Same as I always am, I suppose, when Nintendo's about to reveal a new console, like extremely hyped and excited, looking forward to what sort of new innovation they'd bring to the industry. And yeah, I was really looking forward to what they had to show, to be honest. But I think when it actually was revealed, what their new console was, I was really disappointed, to be quite honest with you. It was a bit of a letdown. At the time, they didn't really show too much of what this new console exactly was, and just ran a little reel of games which were currently already out on the other consoles. So I didn't really understand what they were trying to do at the time, and it was just a case of waiting to, well, next, you had to wait till next year basically to find out exactly what we were in for with that console.
Well, it was quite interesting because there was like Japanese newspaper Nikkei. They released various specifications and information about how the console would be able to transfer games over to its special gamepad. And this new controller from Nintendo would be so innovative. It would be almost as good as the GameCube controller, which in itself sounds quite controversial because I know that many people didn't actually like the GameCube controller. But this concept of transferring a game from your television to a 6 or so inch screen on your gamepad and then continue playing around the house seemed like such an intriguing concept, and mixed in with the fact that people were touting it to be double the power of the PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360. Personally, I was really looking forward to what was going to be shown at E3. But at E3, as you say, perhaps there was a little bit of disappointment when the curtain was finally raised. What were your thoughts during the actual show itself?
All I remember at the time is, I can't remember whether it was all in that E3 2011 where, you know, the name and everything else was revealed. I just remember being extremely disappointed, really. And, you know, the whole name thing, it was like, oh, groan, Wii U, it just sounds a bit... You know, I was expecting a bigger advancement, not something that would be a progression of the Wii, something completely out of left field again. And I don't know, I just really wasn't seeing it. I mean, yeah, I think the gamepad concept is like you say, intriguing. The fact that if someone wants to watch TV, yeah, you can go and carry on playing your game. But I'm just thinking, for me personally, you know, I've got my own gaming space, gaming room, play on my TV. No one's going to take that away from me. And I was thinking, it's not going to be for me. So what else does this console bring to me? It was then, you're left looking at the games then, and all they were showing off was just third-party games which are already on PlayStation. I was thinking, well, I already have a PlayStation. So they weren't showing anything that was really appealing to me as a gamer, really. So, yeah, I was left really disappointed.
Yeah, I think when the E3 show really kicked in, Nintendo started off with the big guns. They started off with little superimposed Pikmin around the audience. The lights came down and the camera panned out into the audience, and suddenly all these little flower characters started appearing.
Yeah.
And the big reveal was Pikmin 3 being transferred across to Wii U.
Yeah.
And from that point, it seemed there is potential with this. Then they showed a video, and the video, whilst impressive, didn't really look too dissimilar to the GameCube versions and even the Wii re-releases. Have you been a big fan of the Pikmin series in general? Or?
To be honest, not particularly. I do own the first one, and I don't think I quite finished it, but I don't know, it's not one of those massive franchises to me that, you know, I'm not excited for Pikmin 3 massively like I would be a new Zelda or Metroid or something like that. Pikmin, it's not really a console-grabbing game to me. I like it, but it's nothing special.
It's one of those smaller appealing games. It's not going to hit the mainstream.
Yeah, exactly.
So for Nintendo to lead with that as their big punch to start off their E3 show was quite risky. But then they followed that up with Nintendo Land. And I vaguely recall they seemed to spend far too much time trying to explain the controls of Nintendo Land.
You know, I remember now kind of switching away from actually watching the presentation at this point, because it was Pikmin and then Nintendo Land, as you say, and it just wasn't doing anything for me, I have to be honest. It was just, I was thinking this is just going to be another sort of Wii Sports-like game, which, yeah, it is, you know, the success of Wii Sports, you can imagine the reasons why they'd want to do something like that. But for me, it was just, no, I was just kind of wasn't paying any attention to it. I didn't really see the appeal again.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the fact that even though Nintendo's intentions were for Nintendo Land to be that sort of hands-on, immediate entertainment product, the fact that on stage they spent too long in a bit of a convoluted explanation of how to play it kind of showed that it's not really that instant impact that they were hoping it would be, like Wii Sports was, like Wii Fit is, basically. It's not something someone can just pick up and immediately enjoy. I don't know, have you had time playing Nintendo Land?
Only after E3, when we went to London to demo the games, and yeah, I managed to get hands-on time there. And it was enjoyable. Yeah, you could have a laugh with it, couldn't you? But it's one of those games where it has to be played with friends, really, isn't it? It's definitely another Wii Sports where you need to be in a group to try it out. It's got to be a word of mouth kind of thing. But for most other folk that play games, it's not going to be for them.
I think you hit the nail on the head there by saying it's a word of mouth thing.
Mm.
Whereas people would see adverts for Wii Sports and immediately know they could pick up that Wii controller and they could move it like a tennis racket. They could swing it like a golf club. They could punch like a proper boxer. When people see adverts for Nintendo Land, they see Donkey Kong's Crash Course, where someone's tilting the gamepad left and right to move a little cart up and down a maze. Or they see four people with Wii controllers and another person holding a gamepad and some maze on the screen and lots of little ghosts running around and flashlight. And okay, when you actually play the game, when you get hands-on time with it, it's quite intuitive. But when you're watching it from afar, well, first it can look a little bit confusing, but I also felt, in my opinion, it looks a bit boring.
Yeah, that's agree. I think on both points, to be honest, definitely they have a real struggle on their hands, Nintendo, in trying to market this and advertise it correctly. Because every sort of advert we have seen, it does look really confusing with all these different controllers and two screens. Which ones you look at? When you've got it there, it's kind of simple, you know. But for your average consumer, they're just going to be looking at it and thinking, what is going on here? With the Wii, it's such a simple little thing to advertise, wave it around, and it does what you want it to do. But the Wii U gamepad thing is just a bit difficult to explain, I think, and it's shown in Nintendo's marketing strategy and their sales.
Right from the launch, you know, we're going back to November last year, 30th of November in Europe, 18th of November in the US. From that point onwards, people are still confused. Now, we're in 2013, and I still meet people today that don't quite know if the gamepad itself is a peripheral for Wii, whether the gamepad itself is actually the console. They're not quite sure what Nintendo are doing, and the name Wii U just seems to confuse matters even more.
Yeah, it's even worse that people actually have not heard of the console. My brother came round a couple of weeks ago, and, you know, we were just chatting about games and stuff, as you do. I mean, he's noticed that I used to be such a massive Nintendo fan, but over the years I've just sort of diverted my attention more to the PlayStation side of things. And, you know, we were just kind of discussing about that, and I was like, you know, yeah, I mean, disappointed in the way things have been going for Nintendo and the Wii consoles. And then I just brought up, you know, have you heard about the Wii U? He was like, no. Nintendo's new console, never heard of it. He actually had not heard of it, which says a great deal about the lack of advertising. The fact that, yeah, people are confused by it, but also the fact that people have not even heard of it.
You actually raise a very good point there. I actually do know people that have not even heard of the console. And I had two examples of that recently. I was chatting to somebody over in America, and he was asking me about what I do on Cube 3. And I was talking about how we do Nintendo coverage. And he said, oh, you mean like the Wii? And I said, well, yeah, but of course you got their new console. And his immediate response was, new console? For people that visit Cube 3, they will see recently we had an interview with Chantelle Claret. And she was talking about how, all right, she's a girl and she's a singer, but she's also very heavy into gaming. But she's more of a Sony PlayStation 3 gamer. When I asked her about Wii U, she seemed to draw a bit of a blank. And when I explained about the gamepad and the actual console and the fact that you could transfer from the big TV to your gamepad, she kind of showed a little bit of recognition about the idea. But she immediately took the idea and went in completely the wrong direction. She got it into her head that you could take it onto the gamepad and then go anywhere with it.
Yeah.
You could leave the house.
Yeah.
She thought it would be the ideal tool for going touring with. And I had to correct her and say, well, no, actually, even though Nintendo are advertising this off TV play, it's limited to within your own house, within a general vicinity of the Wii U console. And suddenly it was a bit like, oh, okay, that's not quite as impressive as I first thought.
Yeah, even more so when it's game dependent. And, well, the UK advert had to be pulled, didn't it? Because
yes.
They didn't properly advertise what consumers were thinking. Any game could be put onto the gamepad, but that's not the case, is it? So
Yeah, so there's even misadvertising. There's misinformation being spread here by Nintendo themselves, almost as if the company and their advertising teams don't know quite how to sell this product. And I think that's been reflected in the weak sales so far. And it's weak sales not just in Europe or in America, even in its homeland of Japan, where sales are dropping to about 10,000 units per week, whereas Nintendo 3DS, which has been out since March 2011, that's still selling between 80 and 100,000 units per week. So Nintendo's really struggling to market this Wii U, and I suppose it doesn't help that third-party support, despite initially seeming strong, has kind of faded away.
You're listening to Cube3.com's Glass to the Wall on turquoiseradio.com. From the gaming industry's mouth, straight to your ears, every week.
That's the end of part one of my special Wii U chat with one of my Cube 3 colleagues. Now we will take a short break and listen to a special interview feature with a Monster Hunter 3 enthusiast discussing the latest release from Capcom and Nintendo, Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate, on Wii U and Nintendo 3DS. The Monster Hunter series has been a massive success over in Japan. Capcom's Adventure, where you run around with various different weapons and you attack these different monsters, has really caught on because you can play via local wireless to join in with friends or complete randomers, and you can go adventuring together. And it's kind of sparked a bit of social inclusion. It's really drawn people in, and its appeal to the masses. However, the gaming culture over in Western countries is slightly different than over in Japan. Not as many people play with their consoles whilst travelling on a bus or on a train, or if they do, they tend not to hook up with random strangers. Therefore, Capcom have been in an interesting situation. Their series started off moderately well on the PlayStation 2, and then progressed from there onto the PlayStation Portable, where it really took off. It exploded, in fact, and became the main reason why Sony's portable system had a massive resurgence in the country after having a rather lackluster first couple of years. But it was limited to Japan. Whenever the games were released in America or in Europe, sales were pretty much insignificant. Well, thanks to a little bit of help from Nintendo, Monster Hunter 3 on the Wii was a little bit more of a success. Nintendo decided to help Capcom out in return for exclusivity of a game on the Wii console. Therefore, rather than Capcom having to try and push yet another game into a market that didn't really care, Nintendo used its advertising clout to attract a wider audience, perhaps drawing some of that Wii casual crowd that were intrigued by all the adverts that they were seeing for this new adventure. Could this be the new Zelda? Well, it certainly got people interested, and it suddenly became a massive hit for Capcom. Perhaps not as large as some of Nintendo's massive hits, but still the biggest Monster Hunter game in Western territories to date. Therefore, it was no surprise when Capcom announced a new Monster Hunter game for Nintendo 3DS. That game was Monster Hunter 3, Portable Edition. That game now is being released over in America and in Europe under the name Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate. However, not only is it coming out on Nintendo 3DS, it's coming out on Nintendo's new home console, Wii U, as well. And there will be interoperability. Players will be able to come back home, play on the Wii U, and transfer data to their Nintendo 3DS and continue from there. In fact, Wii U players will be able to play online as well. They'll be able to play online against people within the same region, and soon after launch, they will be able to play with players across the ocean, so Europeans and Americans will be able to play each other. It's not been confirmed if they can play with Australians, but that may be coming further down the line. Now, for such an important release, the game definitely needs some attention. And what we have today is a very special feature. Right here on Cube 3's Glass to the Wall, we have our resident Monster Hunter fan, who goes by the name of Sir Link. Well, Sir Link very kindly decided to answer some of Glass to the Wall's questions to share with us some more details about these upcoming games. So, without further ado, here is Glass to the Wall's special Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate interview. Have you always been a fan of Monster Hunter games, and what was the first one you played? Well, my first Monster Hunter game was actually Monster Hunter Tri, that I bought almost a year after it came out in early 2010. I picked it up, not knowing much more about it than two things: that you hunt giant monsters, and that it has a really dedicated fanbase. I became addicted to the game almost immediately, and played it both offline and online for roughly 650 hours, until I ran out of things I wanted to do. While I haven't played any Monster Hunter games since then, I did a lot of research about the older games and watched a lot of videos of them, including a weekly Monster Hunter video podcast. Looking back, it's quite crazy how I turned into a really passionate fan of the series after playing just one game. What do you think is the most attractive feature of the Monster Hunter games? Wow, that's a really hard question, as there are many aspects, so many aspects of the series that contribute to the experience. But if I had to highlight one specific one though, I'd have to say the satisfaction of killing the monsters. Unlike many other action RPGs, you have to confront your enemies with respect and be at the top of your game to succeed. And once you manage to kill the monster, you feel a great sense of accomplishment, and even get to carve them and make new weapons and armor with those materials. After those first victories, that's usually when the series really grabs the player. Why do you think they have never been quite as successful in the US and Europe as they were in Japan? Well, I think it comes down to different culture. Yeah, definitely. Different culture plays a huge role in the massive success of the series and how well it's done in Japan so far. Handhelds are a lot more popular there, and many people take their 3DS or PSP with them to school and work, round to friends' houses, or even to relatives. Monster Hunter's the sort of game that can be played via local wireless, and it's all about working together to achieve a common goal. So it's not surprising that it does so well in such an environment. The fact that handhelds contributed a lot to its success becomes even more apparent when you look at sales numbers. While the first two games on the PlayStation 2 were successful, the series didn't take off until it came to the PSP. So portability was definitely a massive contributing factor. Do you think Nintendo did a good job of helping Capcom promote Monster Hunter 3 on Wii? They must have done a good job if you consider how many new players jumped on board with Monster Hunter Tri. It might just be one reason why Capcom returned to Nintendo systems with Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate and even Monster Hunter 4 on the 3DS. I've definitely got high hopes that Nintendo will continue promoting the series in the West, especially with the release of Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate just around the corner. What are some of the key differences between Monster Hunter 3 Wii and the upcoming 3DS and Wii U Ultimate Editions? Well, I think the main difference is the sheer amount of content. A tradition of the series is that they make an ultimate version of each generation before the next generation arrives with a lot more monsters, weapons, armor sets, and an additional difficulty. They call that difficulty G-Rank. The so-called G-Rank isn't just a mere difficulty setting either. You know, it comes with newly designed weapons and armor, and the monsters actually change their patterns and gain new attacks, as opposed to being simply more powerful and having more health. The 3DS touchscreen and the Wii U gamepad also offer an alternative item management, and a target camera was added as well. Touchscreen options are fantastic because it really speeds things up, and the target camera adds extra accuracy, which really improves things. Do you think those that didn't enjoy Monster Hunter 3 on Wii will find these new updates more appealing? That's a tricky one. Well, the newly implemented target camera should help out some new players who had trouble keeping the monsters in their field of vision before. But that said, it's not a lock-on feature like in the Zelda games, and merely offers a way to quickly recenter the camera on the monster with one quick press of a shoulder button. So it's not as accurate as people might think. Everything else still takes time to get used to, so anyone who tried it and was put off before, well, they'll probably have a similar experience unless they go in with more patience or the help of friends, be it advice or playing the game together. So there's a possibility, definitely. How do the Wii U and 3DS versions connect? Well, they connect in two major ways, actually. The first one is the ability to transfer your saves between both versions. With that, it means that you can play the game on the go, and then when you come back home, you can play it on the big screen with all your progress there after a quick transfer back to the Wii U. It really means that you can have a constant Monster Hunter experience throughout the day. If you're like me and you got quite addicted, that's going to be very, very important for those bus rides, walking down the road, bored in a lecture. You get the idea. The second way that it connects is via local play between one Wii U and up to three 3DS players, so that if people want to play cooperatively on the big screen, they can very quickly jump into a game when someone is sat there in front of the TV, they're playing on the Wii U. Some others can pop in with their 3DS systems and they can join in the hunt. It's almost like Nintendo and Capcom working together for inclusivity, bringing families and friends together. Can you use off-TV using the Wii U gamepad? And will there be any other download updates coming? And will these be free? Off-TV play, sadly, won't be available right away, but it will be added via a free software update in April. Yes, I have to stress that, free update. How kind they are. That same update will also add cross-region multiplayer because of a high demand from the fanbase. Originally, when Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate was announced, it was going to be localized. Therefore, people could only play with others within Europe, and those that bought the game in America could only play with other Americans. But, well done the fans, their vocal outpour has led Capcom to announce this new patch, meaning that people can play across the pond. Power to the fans, definitely. On top of that, much like all the other Monster Hunter games, Capcom is going to be providing dozens of free, again, download content quests throughout the months following the release, starting from day one. So anyone that gets tired of the main adventure or polishes it off really quickly will be pleased to know that the game will continue for quite some time. There is no end point at the moment, so presumably it will be based around how long the game will keep selling, how popular it is in general right from the off, yeah, and how quickly Capcom get Monster Hunter 4 out, I would presume as well. Finally, Sir Link, what most excites you about Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate? Well, I'm definitely excited about all the added content and the better online experience with improvements such as voice chat via the gamepad or headsets. It's quite good because it adds to the immersive feel of the game. It's always good to chat with people. Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate also has four weapon types that weren't in Monster Hunter Tri. And since every weapon plays very differently, I'm really looking forward to hunting monsters with all of them. Just think, if I put 650 hours into the Wii game, wow, I think my life is going to be entirely consumed by Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate. Most importantly, though, I just want to delve back into this great and addictive series and wave goodbye to all my friends and family at the same time. Thanks for all the questions. Well, thank you very much to Sir Link for answering all those questions. You're listening to Cube 3's Glass to the Wall on turquoiseradio.com. And listeners, please be aware that Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate, published by Nintendo and developed by Capcom, will be out across the US from the 19th of March and across Europe from the 22nd of March. So, any of you listening now should dash out and pick it up today. But make sure you have some spare time, because by the sound of things, it will take over your life. Okay, well, in the next couple of weeks, we will no doubt have other gaming experts coming in to answer questions. So if you feel that you are an expert in a particular game, or you just want to talk about one of the games coming up further into the year, if you are particularly knowledgeable about something, please feel free to get in touch. Contact details will be provided at the end of the show.
This is TurquoiseRadio.com.
Now we head back to the second part of the Wii U chat with myself, Adam Riley, and my Cube 3 colleague, Aaron. We pick up discussing about third-party support on the Wii U system and what we can expect to see from the Wii U further into the year. On with the final part of the chat. Third parties look like they were getting behind the Wii U right from the start. There seems to be a great lineup. I mean, you yourself, you've played the Mass Effect series.
Yeah.
But what are your thoughts on how third parties have approached Wii U from the start?
Well, I think it was to be expected that they'd port a few games over. Well, I mean, personally, I was expecting the Wii U to be a lot more powerful than what it actually is. And I was assuming that there'd be a lot more original games from third parties rather than the ports that they've just brought over straight from the Xbox and PlayStation. But I mean, I can understand why they've done it just for a quick buck or whatever, but I can see why they're hesitant as well, because the support for it has not quite been there at the start, which is reflected in the low install base of the Wii U and the low sales. I can see a lot of third parties are not quite jumping on the bandwagon and just sort of keeping an eye on things and of how it progresses. And I think a lot of them are staying clear of it, but they're kind of more relying on Nintendo now to release their own titles, shift a few more units of the console before they actually jump on and make their own games. But I think the only way to do it is for Nintendo to actually approach these third parties themselves, because they're just not going to willingly jump on board at all. I think Nintendo needs to be doing something and throwing money at companies and trying to get exclusive games on the system.
Yeah, I mean, that is definitely true. For people that seem to think, well, you know, Nintendo relies on its own games and that's it, third-party games don't sell, and third parties never support Nintendo systems with the mainline games. From launch, that actually wasn't true. The Nintendo Wii U launched with more games than any other console in history. And that was thanks to, okay, there were some maybe cheap and dirty ports of games. However, there were also some that came across, and they were the better versions. Call of Duty Black Ops 2, for instance, was superior, marginally, but still superior to its Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3 counterparts, purely because it made very good use of the gamepad. Now, unfortunately, as time has gone on, the bigger selling versions have received more download content, and the Wii U version has been somewhat neglected. But right from the start, there was potential there. But sales of Call of Duty have been quite pitiful. I mean, you yourself, Alice, recently noticed that in the UK market alone, Call of Duty Black Ops 2 was doing quite poor on a week-to-week basis, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, not just that, but almost all third-party games. I think Sing Party launched, which was actually an exclusive game for the Wii U. And if the numbers were right, I think it sold, well, definitely less than 100 copies in its first week in the UK. It might have been quite a bit more, less than that even. But, you know, that just speaks for itself. The fact that third-party games just don't sell on the Wii U, then developers are going to see no reason to continue putting resources to that console whether it's for current games with download content or new games. There's no install base there whatsoever, so there's no reward, so there's no point in supporting it.
Well, Sing Party is a very good example, because that was actually published by Nintendo.
Mm.
The team behind that, it was meant to be seen as quite a big coup for Nintendo, getting them to develop an exclusive karaoke game for Wii U. That Nintendo took it themselves, they embraced it, and they published it as their own game.
Yeah.
And then it was a disaster.
Yeah.
It was a complete disaster. And I think the same has happened with Ninja Gaiden 3 Razor's Edge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is another example of a superlative version of a game that came out on Wii U.
Yeah, and I think you're going to start seeing it now that some games which are too as exclusives for the console will end up not shifting many units. They end up getting ported to the PS3 and 360, where they will sell. So it's a bit of a problem for Nintendo in securing exclusive games. It just seemed like timed exclusives rather than actual permanently staying on the system. You know, games like Rayman Legends as well. I don't know what exactly happened there, but whether Ubisoft saw the state of the Wii U itself and what was happening to other third-party games, and it just sort of made sense, really, that the game would end up being ported to PS3 and 360 as well. And I think they just decided not to take a chance on keeping it exclusive to the Wii U. But it was just a surprise to see that one delayed as well.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, Ninja Gaiden 3 Razor's Edge has now been announced as coming out on PS3 and 360. I think it actually comes out in April.
Yeah.
So it's not even that much of a long-timed exclusive.
Yeah.
Then you have, as you mentioned, Rayman Legends, which was supposed to be out by now on Wii U as an exclusive. Be it timed or not, it was meant to be out now, and it's actually caused a lot of problems, even with the developers themselves, because that Wii U version was finished, and it supposedly used features of the Wii U that would make it impossible to mimic on competitor systems, and then all of a sudden it's delayed until, what, maybe September?
Yeah.
So it can come out on Sony and Microsoft's platforms as well. That's an extremely worrying trend, especially from someone like you say, Ubisoft, who hit the ground running with something like 8 games at launch, but I think only about 4 of them made launch day, with things like Your Shape, Rabbids Land, Zombie U.
Yeah, there's Assassin's Creed as well.
Yeah, Assassin's Creed. It's extremely worrying that these companies that put their support behind Nintendo's platform right from the start are very quickly, well, it appears that they're very quickly losing faith, trying to recoup money by bringing their games to other systems as quickly as possible. Well, you look at EA as well, Mass Effect 3. They didn't bring Mass Effect Trilogy to the Wii U. So do you think in some regards third parties are kind of shooting themselves in the foot a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. I can't understand the philosophy behind the Mass Effect trilogy not being on the Wii U, porting over only the third game, which for the series itself is an incredibly strange decision. So I don't really understand what they were trying to gain out of that at all. But it's quite an interesting one with EA as well, because it seems they've almost abandoned support completely for the Wii U when you look at the fact that they've not announced a Wii U version of upcoming huge franchises like Madden and Tiger Woods. I'm not quite sure what EA's story is with Nintendo, but they clearly don't look to be supporting it, which is going to be a big blow for Nintendo if that's the case.
Well, the thing with Electronic Arts was that in E3 2012, there was no presence from them on stage, and yet there was a massive presence on the Microsoft show. And many people said that it's because Microsoft paid for exclusivity, and then shortly afterwards, a few games started to come to the fore. You know, Madden came, FIFA 13 came out on Wii U. But you're right in that Tiger Woods is missing. Now, Tiger Woods came out every single year on Wii. It was a massive seller to start with, and okay, year after year, sales started to decline, but EA still supported it with Tiger Woods, and yet there is no version for Wii U, despite the fact that Nintendo, on its own showreel, had a golf game.
Yeah.
They showed how you can have the ball on the gamepad with the gamepad on the floor and use the Wii controller and the internal sensor bar of the Wii U gamepad, and you can play golf accurately. Even more accurately than on the Wii console with the Wii Remote Plus. So it's a bit concerning. And Nintendo had a bit of a panic, as people thought, with a panic mode Nintendo Direct recently, where they unveiled all sorts of games. And I think people were hoping that there'd be a lot of third-party games shown there, but it seemed to be Nintendo-only stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know whether there's any plans for a future Nintendo Direct just for third-party games or not. I imagine maybe in the future there will be, because think one of the things they announced during that Nintendo Direct is that they're going to be doing a lot more collaborations with third parties in order to secure exclusive games, which I think is a move that is right for Nintendo. I think they definitely need to do that kind of thing. But I think that was just that Nintendo Direct, they're more just for the hardcore Nintendo fans. That was just to reassure the fans, I think, that had already invested or hoping to invest in the Wii U, that they're making a right decision and that the big names will be coming. You know, the Zeldas, the Mario Karts, RPG from Monolith Soft. You know, just to reassure the diehard Nintendo fans that they've made a right decision more than anything.
But it was a case of this is what will be coming rather than this is what's right here and now. Because even in the right here and now, we don't have games, as we mentioned earlier, that were shown off at E3. We still don't have Pikmin, for instance.
Yeah.
They suddenly announced a new 3D Mario. There will be two Zelda games coming, but hey, one of the Zelda games isn't coming for a long time. So, whilst you wait, have a HD version of Wind Waker. It was almost like we were being fobbed off.
Yeah, I agree. You know, the games that you expect as well, you just, you know, Mario Kart and Mario 3D, you know, you're expecting that, but they're not coming till the end of the year anyway. It's a tough one. I mean, Nintendo had to do something. They couldn't just announce, the games aren't just going to come within the next couple of months, but I think they just had to do something to reassure people that, you know, stick with us and this is what you'll get. But it's a tough one.
It is indeed, because you even have companies like Konami. Konami have even brought a brand new Castlevania to 3DS, but the development team have specifically said there will not be a Wii U version. So there are companies in Japan that would normally support Nintendo, like Konami supported Nintendo on Wii with the Pro Evolution Soccer series. Again, another one like EA, they supported it year after year, despite diminishing returns. They still supported it. But there's no Winning 11, there's no Pro Evolution Soccer coming to Wii U at the moment. There's no Castlevania coming to Wii U. Konami seem to have ditched the console completely. Capcom's support seems a little bit shaky. The only game that seems to be on the horizons at the moment is Resident Evil Revelations, which is a HD upgrade of the 3DS game. It's quite concerning, and you are right, perhaps Nintendo will have a Nintendo Direct just for third-party games, but for the moment, it's quite tricky. And how Nintendo are going to turn things around? Well, do you think they'll be able to do it with just Mario Kart and 3D Mario?
Personally, no. Look, quarter one and quarter two is dead for Nintendo. They can't do anything about it. So they've got to look towards the latter half of the year, where I think that they'll drop the price of the Wii U. I think they have to, really. Because if you look at what the competitors are bringing out, there's going to be Grand Theft Auto 5, which in itself is going to be huge. And that's just on the PS3 and 360. And the new consoles from Sony and Microsoft will be arriving as well. So Nintendo has got a real fight on its hands in the last half of the year. And they just, I don't know, I really can't see them turning things around, to be quite honest. But all they can do is drop the price of the console and advertise like crazy for, you know, Zelda, Mario Kart, etc. I really don't know what else they can do this year.
They're going to almost have to do what they did with the Nintendo 3DS and pretty much relaunch the system.
Yeah.
They're going to have to drastically cut the price, if that is possible, because they may still be selling at a loss. So they're going to have to cut it as low as they can, and then they're going to have to hit hard. And this is what they did with 3DS. They hit hard in Japan with Super Mario 3D Land, Mario Kart 7, and Monster Hunter 3. Whether they can do that this time round with a 3D Mario and Mario Kart and Zelda Wind Waker, well, it remains to be seen. But for the moment, things are quite shaky. But Nintendo, well, can you underestimate them? I don't think you can, really. They've turned things around before. Perhaps they can do it again.
We shall see.
We shall see. Well, thank you for joining us on this show. Hopefully you'll be able to join us again for another chat sometime soon, Aaron.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Okay, take care, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks.
You're listening to Cube 3's Glass to the Wall on turquoiseradio.com. Straight from the gaming industry's mouth to your ears every week.
Well, that brings us almost to the end of this very first episode of Cube 3's Glass to the Wall, the new look podcast feature from Cube 3, no longer featured only on the website www.cubed3.com, but now here every Thursday and repeated every Saturday on turquoiseradio.com. Some of you may have been wondering, what is that music that we've been listening to throughout the show? Well, there's been a little bit of a mixture of themes. During the Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate interview, the introduction to that special feature featured the theme tune from Monster Hunter Tri on Nintendo Wii from the extremely clever composers at Capcom. Throughout the show, though, dotted around, there's been little bits of music, some very interesting and quite catchy instrumental tunes from Machinima Sound. Quality above quantity. Visit www.machinimasound.com to download their latest oral treats. You'll be hearing plenty more from Machinima Sound in the coming weeks. To round off the show, we're going to have a little bit of fun here. In March 2012, it was the Nintendo 64's 15th anniversary in Europe, and Cubed 3 had a special Nintendo 64 month to celebrate this momentous occasion. People listening to this that already visit Cubed 3 on a regular basis may remember all the content that we had last year. They may also remember an infamous podcast feature which had some very strange little features. One of them being an interview with some animals. Yes, it is quite weird, but in memory of that extremely enjoyable and highly entertaining podcast, for all the new listeners, I'm going to bring back one small excerpt from that show. What I would like listeners to do is to listen through this animal interview and guess which game it comes from. It's rather obvious, but hey, let's have a little bit of fun. You can send your answers to the email address that will be included at the end of the show.
9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
So, how does it feel to start in your own game now? An adventure platform game, isn't it? Yes. Okay, I understand what you mean by that. Okay. And you have a partner, don't you? Ah, right. Thank you for joining us. Okay, right. Ah, sounds like exciting stuff. Sounds like a fantastic game. I can't wait to try it. Oh, and who's this? Ah, okay. So you help them. Right, right. Well, that's good. Wow. Really? Well, that's all truly amazing stuff. Thank you very much for taking the time to sit down with us and have a quick little chat. Hopefully we'll have a chance to catch up with you again soon. In the meantime, we will be interviewing some new characters very soon. Goodbye. So did you guess what the game was? Unfortunately, despite what it said at the end, there never were any further interviews with other gaming characters. Would you like to see more in the future? If you knew the name of the game and you would like other interviews with gaming characters, just let us know. If you have any queries, any questions, any comments, any feedback, please send an email to adam.riley@turquoiseradio.com for your chance to be featured in one of our weekly shows. That's all we have time for on this week's episode of Cube 3's Glass to the Wall. If you wish to check out more news, reviews, and features, head on over to www.cubed3.com. Be sure to join us next week for more fun and frolics from the gaming industry. Remember, straight from the gaming industry's mouth to your ears every week, right here on turquoiseradio.com and archived on cubed3.com. Thanks for listening. See you soon. Cube 3's Glass to the Wall. every Thursday at 11 PM GMT, 6 PM EST, with a repeat show on Saturdays at 4 AM GMT, 11 PM EST, from the gaming industry's mouth straight to your ears every week.
Good luck.